From the National Weather Bureau, I have the following. Not much change in temperature in the North Valley over the next 24 hours. Tuesday, we'll see a low-pressure system settling in the Sierra Nevadas, bringing slightly colder temperatures and a 25% chance of rain to Chico and the surrounding area. Current temperature at the KZFR newsroom is 68 degrees, and the overnight low will be 39 with a high tomorrow of 77. Sounds like a perfect day to walk Bidwell Park and view this spectacular autumn. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we've just experienced a small earthquake. I heard the windows rattling and my coffee mug danced halfway across the control board. Let's hope that's the extent of the excitement for tonight. As promised, though, we're going to bring you live music this evening. We now go to a remote broadcast of the Harvest Ball taking place at the Chico Women's Club. Nate Hansen is on location taking in the festivities. How are things, Nate?
Oh, hey, Jake. Well, it's actually kind of crazy here. We had a really nice crowd here listening to some Lisa Valentine up until a minute ago when the place literally started shaking and the power went out.
Yes, I felt that. Of course, it's not really what I want to feel up here on the fourth floor of one of the oldest buildings in Chico.
I can imagine. Well, I was hoping we could bring you some tasty live music on this harvest weekend, but everyone kind of scattered. They're now just starting to come back in. I'm going to see if we can get some acoustic stuff going on if the power doesn't kick back in. You want to try this again in about 10 minutes?
Sure. We'll get back to you shortly. In the meantime, enjoy the harvest.
You know it.
All right, well, Nate is having some technical difficulties out at the Women's Club, but we will indeed get back to him in a bit. We have Carl Phillips coming in later as well with another fascinating interview, and if he's speaking with whom he claims, this is going to be a very special night indeed. But for now, we return to the music. I've been looking forward to playing this next song all evening for obvious reasons. It's Neil Young's Harvest Moon.
Just like children sleeping, we could dream this night away. But there's a full moon rising, let's go.
Pardon the interruption, folks. I have a few things for you. Multiple sources are confirming that there was a seismic disturbance, which seemed to me an earthquake, but a seismic disturbance centered just outside of Chico was felt as far south as Gridley and as far north as Corning. Multiple power outages have been associated with the event, and city officials are currently working with PG&E to restore electricity as soon as possible. And while things may seem just a little crazy out there, I've got something that should bring us all back down to earth. Carl Phillips has been blowing our minds with a series of interviews from noted members of the community, and tonight he's outdone himself by bringing a broadcasting legend into the studio. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear this conversation, so without further ado, here's Carl with another installment of NorCal Voices.
You got that right, Jake. I have sitting across the table from me here in the KZFR studio, without a doubt, one of the most famous individuals alive today.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
One of the most famous scientists?
I'll allow that.
He is head of the Department of Astronomy and Physics at Stanford University, lead consultant to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and the most exciting thing to me, and probably where most of my audience knows him, host of the most popular podcast in the country, Space Between My Ears. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce to you Professor Neil Pearson.
Well, it is a pleasure for me to be here in the studio, Carl. You know, this reminds me of my undergraduate days back in Columbia when I was the DJ for the Midnight Show. Oh, before I made the commitment to pursue astronomy and physics, I considered a life in radio.
Well, you do have the voice for it.
That's funny. My father always said I had a face for radio. Well, anyway, I'm sure that's the primary reason I started the podcast. I've always had an interest in sharing my thoughts with a large audience.
You know, it was your podcast, Space Between My Ears, that first got me into radio as well. One of the recurring themes is to always ask questions, that people who do not ask questions remain clueless their entire lives. So I started to ask questions about science and soon found out that I really suck at science. But I enjoyed asking the questions, and here I am interviewing people and asking questions for a living.
Well, I'm glad I could help you out.
Now, speaking of questions, I've got a few for you. First, what brings someone of your stature to our little town of Chico?
Well, I'm here as a part of a tour funded by NASA to heighten awareness of space in smaller communities. And as you know, Chico has its own community observatory, an open-air planetarium in Bidwell Park, which is absolutely stunning, by the way. So this is the perfect place to kick off the entire venture with a live version of my podcast broadcast from the observatory.
Which is fantastic, and I'm definitely going to be there, and I know many of our listeners will be as well. I want to move on to Saturn now. Now, it really has been in the news quite a bit recently with the end of the Cassini space probe mission, which I know you were instrumental in advising, and then the subsequent explosions, which have been noted on the planet for the past few weeks. Anything you can tell us about these events being so close together?
Well, until there is evidence to the contrary, I'm inclined to call them coincidental.
So no link between explosions on Saturn happening so soon after the Cassini probe plummeted to the surface of the planet in, what, July of this year? No living beings could have caused this to happen?
I certainly understand the desire to make the leap to the possibility that the explosions on Saturn are some kind of sign of intelligence, but I tell you, without scientific data to back it up, I'm certainly not willing to buy into that theory.
Okay, so how do you account for the explosions then?
Well, that's just the thing. I can't account for them. I'm honestly baffled. But see, these are the kinds of moments that scientists live for, the unfolding of the unknown.
By the way, just how far is Saturn from Earth?
Well, that fluctuates, of course, depending on the planet's relative path around the sun, but right now it's about 1.5 billion miles. Which is actually about as close as it gets.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance, right? Now, let's just speculate for a minute, though, that if those gas plumes on Saturn...
Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold that thought. I have to read this text. This is from the big cheese at NASA.
Absolutely. Now, as you can imagine, folks out there listening at home, Professor Pearson is in continual contact with many government authorities since the Saturn explosions, which started, 6 weeks ago and continue today. Anything in that text you can share with the listeners, Professor?
No, just a coincidence. Seems a large meteorite has landed right outside of Chico. That must have been the earthquake we thought we felt a few minutes ago. I've got to find a way to get to the orchards out by the old Diamond Match facility. Until we investigate and harvest applicable data, sorry, everyone, but I'm going to have to cut this short and find a way to get there as soon as possible.
Well, any chance this has something to do with Saturn and those explosions?
No. Well, just a coincidence.
You know, if you don't mind sitting on the back of my motorcycle, I can get you there real quick.
That would be fantastic. Again, just like my college days.
Okay, so we are going. Hey, can you go ahead and take this, Jake?
No problem, Carl. Well, this is turning into quite the night. It appears the earthquake was possibly a meteor, which would explain the power outages across the area. We'll return to a little more music, but stay tuned to 90.1 KZFR as we promise to keep you updated on this developing story as the night progresses.
How long can we live this way? How long till the rain stops coming down? Every evening, maybe changes.
My apologies for breaking in once more, ladies and gentlemen, but our news director, John Hobart, has an update for you on the situation.
Thank you, Jake. Authorities from the city of Chico and Butte County now report that there have been a series of fires that have erupted from an explosion south of Chico. All south and northbound traffic on the Midway and Durham-Dayton Road, as well as Highway 99, have been halted to all but emergency vehicles. All motorists and onlookers are asked to steer clear of the area.
Nothing about a meteor?
No, Jake. That might be information that isn't actually public yet. We were just lucky enough to have Neil Pearson in the studio with us when he received his message from NASA. I've got a few calls to make. I'll have more information for everyone as soon as I find out, but this sounds like a big deal. And I was just looking out of the window, and here on the fourth floor, right by the plaza downtown, I can definitely see an orange glow of fire to the south. It looks big.
Well, all right. Thank you, John. Given the information, we advise listeners to stay as far as possible from this orange glow, whatever it might be, as it appears a significant safety concern. Local law enforcement and the Chico Fire Department are responding, so please let them manage the situation as they see fit.
Yeah, I can put you on now. Jake, Carl is at the scene right now, and I have him on the line, so let's put him on the air. Carl, are you there? You're on.
Hi, John. Am I on?
Yes. Carl, you're live. Go. What is it like there?
Man, it is crazy. All of the streets are blocked off with emergency vehicles. But Professor Pearson and myself came down the railroad track by Diamond Match Factory on my motorcycle, and then I cut through the orchards until I came upon it, and I'm not exactly sure where I am, but it looks like half of this orchard has been flattened. Much of it is on fire. This is crazy, like some wild movie set.
Do you see the meteor or whatever caused all this? I mean, maybe it was just a gas
leak. No. I haven't had much of a chance to look around, but I want to find this before we get chased off by the police. Pearson just took off running towards something. Wow. Yeah, I think this must be the thing right in front of me. It looks like it's like half buried in a huge pit. God, I must have hit really hard. This thing is monster. It's smooth, not rough at all. More of a cylinder, a smooth cylinder about the shape and size of a submarine. This does not look like a meteor. This looks like some kind of metal, and it's a strange color, kind of a yellowish white. Okay, cops are coming over. They're coming over to push people back. I'm going to get out of their way and relocate. Just give me a minute.
This is pretty spectacular. I'm looking at a news feed right now, and the officials are saying that it is a meteor that struck south of Chico in the almond orchards between here and Durham. They are saying that there have been some people injured, and there's a possibility that there have been some casualties as well. However, that has not been confirmed. So this looks to be a lot more serious than we first thought.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, do not venture towards the area in question, as roads need to be kept open for emergency vehicles which are coming in from the north and south of town. Carl, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm not sure where the professor is, but I found some locals that actually witnessed the explosion. We have Nick and Daisy. So, you own this orchard here?
What? Oh, no, man. Me and Daisy, we just live right next to it. And we have our own, you know, like, backyard garden. And we just harvested.
My little babies did great this season. Best harvest ever.
Oh, it sure was. I wasn't sure because, you know, that mold
so
started.
What did you see?
So, we were on the front porch, man.
Just trimming.
Yeah, trimming and listening to the radio. And we were waiting for Neil Pearson to come on.
God, I love him.
He's our favorite. We always listen to his podcast when we're trimming.
And did you see the meteor?
What? Oh, no. First there was this freaky sound, like kind of a hiss.
It was like...
Yeah, then there was this big, huge flash of light that was... It lit everything up, man.
It was so rad.
And then this explosion that knocked me and Daze over. You okay, Daze?
It's just a bruise, Poopy. As long as my babies are okay, I'll be all right.
Now, were either of you scared?
Scared? No, I just thought, you know.
You thought he was tripping.
Nick, Daisy, thank you very much.
So did I see you with Neil Pearson, man? Because seriously, space between my ears changed my life. We think he's just the greatest person in the world, man.
Well, yeah, next to Beyonce, of course.
Okay, that was an eyewitness account of this thing actually falling. And I'm telling you right now, this is not a meteor. I don't know what it is, but it is not a space rock. This thing is metal. I'm going in a little closer to see if I can make out what is happening a little bit clearer. Police are fencing off the area around the meteor and having a hard time keeping people back, and some are getting through to the crater. Can you hear this? I did mention it earlier, but it's growing louder. There's a strange humming sound coming from the object. Can you hear that?
I think I can, Carl, yes.
Excuse me, Jake, hold on. This just came into the studio on our emergency wire. Governor Brown has just activated California National Guard. Highways I-5, 99 south of Sacramento and north of Redding is all closed to all non-military or emergency vehicles until further notice. I'm also getting a lot of messages from other parts of the country. So it did not take long at all for this to make some national attention. It looks like there are more announcements coming in all over the emergency broadcast system line. I'll be back in a few minutes with Carl. Are you still there? Is there anything happening?
I just saw Professor Pearson a minute ago, and just as I was talking with him, he was called over close to the crater, and I came with him. So I'm actually within the gated off area. Lots of police and sheriff and fire, but this is starting to fill in with mostly military personnel. I tried to get a few comments, but no one seems to want to go on the record about any of this. They've got a ton of lights up around it now, so I can see it a lot better. Whatever this thing is, it is definitely intact. It does not appear to have broken up and crashed, and that noise is getting more intense. Whoa, there's some kind of a crack. It seems to be cracking open. There's something coming out of it, like a cable or a snake, or now there are two of them coming out of the crack. There is something coming out of it. Something is crawling out of the top of this thing. I see two discs. They might be eyes. I don't know. Those aren't cables. They're tentacles. This thing is alive. It's crawling out of this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is incredible. I can see the body. It's about the size of a bear, but it looks wet, like wet leather. Holy Jesus, this face. The eyes are black, and the mouth is V-shaped with saliva dripping down. It looks like it's shaking or quivering. Okay, everyone is moving back, and I gotta get out of here. It's rising up, and I gotta get out of here.
Carl, calm down. That doesn't make any sense. Carl, what is going on now? You say something is coming out of the... Is Carl still on?
I believe he is. Carl! Well, we still have the connection, but he's not answering.
We'll get back to Carl as soon as we can. I just wanted to note that there is no way now to confirm this, but this seems to be connected to a report out of Canada. There is a large meteor hitting ground just outside of Ottawa this evening, right around the same time as we experienced a strike south of Chico again. There is a report out of...
John, am I still on? John, Jake, am I on?
Carl, go, you're on.
I made it out of the fenced-in area, but I have a clear view of the crash site. I'm about 75 or 80 yards away. Police are having no problem keeping people back now, and that thing is still standing on top of the meteor. It's not moving, but it looks like it's scanning the crowd, moving its head. It looks like Pearson did not leave the site, and he's conferring with some military officers. Okay, Pearson is walking around one side of the object, talking into his phone, and the officers are heading the other way, and they're putting their hands up over their heads and walking towards this thing. There is a... Oh, my God! Oh! It's some sort of beam, a red beam. They burst into flames! They just burst into flames, and now the monster is starting to turn the beam on others close to the meteor. It's just picking them off, and they're all bursting into flames. I gotta get out of here. The entire orchard is in flames. Everyone is running, and it's...
Carl, are you still there? Carl, can you tell me what's going on?
Jake, I have to stop you right there. We have a mandatory break to emergency broadcast system right now. This is a live announcement from Sacramento. We have Press Secretary Sarah Hansen.
The governor of California has placed the following counties under martial law: Butte, Glen, Tehama, Colusa, Sutter, and Yuba. No one will be allowed to enter the area without special pass issued by state military authorities. 4 battalions of the California National Guard will assist in the evacuation of homes in the immediate vicinity of the meteor landing and in range of impending military operations. That is all for now. Thank you.
Okay, so we have some evacuations going on. I have quite a few announcements coming in over the EBS wire. I'm not sure of which of these are confirmed. The State Department has issued a statement confirming that the incident here in Chico is being considered an extraterrestrial landing. Again, state and government agencies are confirming this event as a landing of an alien spacecraft, and all actions going forward will be in the interest of protecting those living in the immediate area. There are now several reports of more capsules. Though unconfirmed, it looks like Medford, Oregon, Logan, Utah, Lewiston, Montana, Alamos, Colorado, Regina, Canada, both Enloe and Feather Falls hospitals are reporting multiple casualties from the incident south of Chico's. So far, over 40 fatalities and 150 wounded, but this number is expected to grow. Fighter squadrons from Beale Air Force Base
John, I've got someone here who's still at the crash site. She saw the whole thing.
Put her on. We have a live witness now from the massacre. Are you there? Can you tell us what you saw?
You look crazy.
Okay, just tell us what you saw, please.
There were 3 of these things that came out of the ship, and the first one just started firing this red beam. I'm not sure where it came from, but the people, they just burst into flames, and then the other two would run to the people that have fallen. Oh my God, they moved so fast. And then these other two, they would stick something out of their mouth like a tongue, but really long and sharp. And then there's a wolf. Oh my God, it was...
Are you safe? Are you in a safe place now? Are they still attacking you?
I was behind the car when it was happening, and then all of a sudden they just stopped, and all 3 of them ran back to their ship. They just moved at the same time like they were synced up. They didn't even seem to communicate at all. They just moved at the same time in the same exact way, and the firemen, the policemen came, and they collected all the dead, but the creatures, they didn't even come out again. They just stayed in and let it happen. But then the military, the army, they came back with bigger guns and surrounded that ship, so I ran out of there. I'm about a mile up the road, back by the diamond mass, but I heard that laser beam when I was running in, and I didn't hear anything from the army. There's no guns or anything, it's all just silence. There are some planes coming over pretty low. Can you hear them? In the helicopter.
Yes, I can hear them. Listen, I think you should get out of there as soon as...
Wait, it's up in the air. The whole ship is up in the air. The meteor thing goes to the ground. It has long legs under it, and I can see it above the trees. It's got to be 50 feet high, and it's walking right over all of the trees. And now there are 2 of them. I don't even know where the second one came from. I don't know, maybe it was under the first one, but there are 2 of them now. The plane, they just fired at it, but nothing happened. There's an explosion, but it didn't even seem to scratch it. Oh my God. They just got the plane with the laser.
Hello?
All right, that's it. I'm leaving.
Jake.
Screw it. You know I'm a family man, damn it.
Jake. I've got a few more messages here. They just keep coming in. Too many capsule landings to count. They're coming in all over the country and all over the world. But here in Northern California, there are reports in Arcata, Crescent City, Manton, Weed, Susanville, Grass Valley, and Clear Lake. 3 capsules in Sacramento. Also, we have confirmation from Washington that these alien ships are linked to the explosions on Saturn a few weeks ago. That there is a definite link that these ships have come from Saturn. Okay, As I look ahead, I'm sorry. There's another press briefing going back to the Capitol. Sarah Hansen, Governor Brown.
As you are all aware this evening, we have had contact with what appears to be the beginning of an invading force from outside of this planet. The first craft landed just south of Chico, California at 8:02 p.m. The 2nd Light Artillery Regiment of the California National Guard was called in to engage. The battle, which took place, has ended in one of the most stunning defeats ever suffered by the American military on domestic soil. Of 3,000 troops deployed to the area, there are 120 known survivors. The pair of Saturnian invaders have left the immediate area and appear to be on the move. I have time for just a few quick questions.
You!
Has there been any contact with the aliens? Do we know what they want?
There has been no successful contact with the aliens at this time. We're just trying to kill them.
Yes.
Do they seem to have a plan that anyone can discern?
Like I previously stated, no contact has been made and we are still harvesting the data. Of the new ships that have currently landed, the only pattern that we have established is that they seem to work in pairs and are currently focusing on attacking communication system and tearing up roadways.
What about the reports that they seem to be feeding on those they kill? That they are injecting something into the temple area and appear to be sucking out the contents.
I'm afraid I cannot comment on that at this time. I have time for one more question.
Professor Nielsen has been drawing quite a bit of attention lately to the explosions on Saturn following the Cassini probe landing. Why was he in Chico? At the very spot where the first contact was made, was this a coincidence? Or was he aware that something would happen the whole time?
Okay, this seems to be media-driven wild speculation, and I do not have time for that right now. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're back. I have too many bulletins to read. It seems that the main interest of the invaders right now is to knock out communications and infrastructure. There's lots of reports of roads being torn up as well as cell towers being toppled and forms of major communications, corporate internet services. Everything seems to be dropping off the grid. Whatever these things are, wherever they go, communication is being knocked out. Now, being a small community radio station might be in our favor because at the moment, our cell tower is still up and we will continue to broadcast as long as that is the case. I do have a memo here. This has come over the newswire, which seems fairly secure at the moment. It says that any existing radio frequencies may be taken over for military use. I remember this. I heard about this. In an emergency, military can take over whatever communication it deems necessary. So as things continue to deteriorate, we may...
Bombing plane V-843 off Marysville, California. Lieutenant Vaughn commanding squadron of 8 bombers to Commander Fairfax, Beale Air Force Base, over. This is Vaughn, reporting to Commander Fairfax, Beale Air Force Base, over.
Fairfax, over.
Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Looks like they are being reinforced by a second pair. This is probably the pair from the Clear Lake cylinder. A total of 4 altogether. They seem to be releasing heavy black fog that hugs the ground as they pass through Yuba City. Extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of the red fire ray. Enemy is now crossing Feather River and heading north into the rice field. Destination seems to be due north to connect with the Chico pair. They're pushing over electrical and telephone wires as they travel at a fantastic speed. Squadron is ready to attack. Over.
Go ahead, V-843. Fire at will. Take them out. Over.
1,000 yards in closing. 600 yards. Target's locked. 400 yards. Wait, that arm is raised. It's firing.
V-843, come in. Come in, V-843.
V843, come in. V843, this is Beale. Come in, V843, over.
Am I on? Okay, it looks like we're back on. I'm not sure how long. I don't even know if anyone is still listening.
You're still here.
Professor Pearson?
Do you mind?
No.
I had no place to go.
Well, sit down. This is... What can you tell us? Why are you here?
I didn't know where to go. I've always liked radio stations, and, you know, I used to DJ the Midnight Show when I was undergrad at Columbia, and it always felt like I was talking to no one, just talking into the vacuum of space. I felt at home.
Did Phillips?
No. No. He went early, before the smoke.
Smoke?
They're releasing some black smoke. It appears to be extremely toxic, and it hugs the ground, so I came up here to the fourth floor. I need to talk out into space.
Listen, I'm not sure if there's anyone out there, and we are going to get cut at any minute. Either the towers or the military. But there's lots of what you know. I mean, you've seen them teaming up.
I know.
There is not even much coming over the feet. It's all crashing down. Like, I've got to go. I have to get out of here.
No, you go. I'm fine. I need to talk.
Yeah, all right.
One more show. Now let me find some music here. Ah. Yes. Right. Hello, this is Neil Pearson. At least I think this is Neil Pearson. Welcome to The Space Between My Ears, the 235th episode of My Mind. My thoughts on space and stars and planets and time and motion and exploration and thinking and consciousness. Thank you for listening. Open your mind. May I come in? Like a vampire, I need your permission to enter. But my aim is not to take. My aim is to give a gift. The gift of thought. The gift of questioning. Well, that's how I always began my podcast 234 times. That is how I introduced myself. But that all seems like another world, another life. A life that has no continuity with the furtive existence of the lonely derelict that speaks these words to no one. No one at all. I am trying to connect myself with who I was just yesterday. Well, just yesterday, I knew myself as a professor of astrophysics at Stanford University, a consultant to NASA, an author, a speaker, a celebrity. I'm none of those now. My colleagues, my students, my books, my steadfast listeners, where are they now? Did they ever exist? Did I ever exist? These data which made up my life, which I thought was so solid, so absolute, proved to be as insubstantial and as flimsy as the whim of a school child. When I grow up, I'm going to be a fireman. Yesterday, I was a celebrated astrophysicist. Equal statements. Based on my own idea of myself. It was this idea of self, this notion based on nothing that could be measured or recorded or touched or tested, based on no scientific fact at all. I am. I am is the seed that has led us to the harvest of every achievement in our collected human history, a purely subjective sense of self. Newton elucidated the fundamental theorem of calculus for no other reason than one day he fancied himself a mathematician. What if he had woke up that day and fancied himself a cobbler instead? Well, we would all be wearing some pretty fantastic shoes, I'm sure. Yesterday, I was a celebrated astrophysicist. Today, I'm the midnight DJ on KZFR, sitting all alone on the fourth floor of the radio station, surrounded by a sea of black smoke, suffocating the world, sharing the space between my ears. I need to make a confession. There's something that's weighing on me. What? A caller? Really? Absolutely. Hello, stranger. What's on your mind?
You knew.
Excuse me?
You knew. You knew about all of it. Cassini, Saturn, the explosions, the invasion, the harvest. You knew they were coming. That's why you're here in Chico.
My friend, I've listened to conspiracies my entire adult life. And
conspiracy? Oh, I know about conspiracies, too. I listen to your show. I know what you say about conspiracies. We have an incomplete data, so we, as humans, have a tendency to fill the holes in with our fears and create conspiracies.
Well, you do listen.
I listen. And I watch. Well, I'm very good at watching, actually. And this is not a conspiracy, because all of this is fact. Yesterday it was a conspiracy, and today it is the way of life, and tomorrow it will be our history. Now, you're on the radio right now because you know, even though cellular is down and internet is down and television is down, radio is not going down. And you knew that because that is how they communicate with each other, through radio waves. And how did Cassini transmit to Earth? How did all traveling satellites communicate back to Earth? I mean, this is rhetorical, but I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Radio waves.
That's right. Radio waves travel through space at the speed of light. By today's standards, it's an old technology, but hey, it's a solid technology. And what are those rings around Saturn? Well, I've never been there myself, but Cassini has. Now, why don't you tell us the answer to that one, Professor?
The rings around Saturn are radio antenna.
Radio antenna that is used for their species to communicate instantly with each other over their entire planet. A broadband network bigger than anything we could conceive of. And when Cassini confirmed, you crashed it.
Okay, you're right. I knew about it all along, but this knowledge had to be unveiled deliberately and carefully. We were laying the platform to reveal it, but it needed careful planning. My whole tour was introducing the idea to the world, with the facts on hand, not just speculation. How did you come by this? Who are you?
You're not the only person that fancies himself an astrophysicist. You just fancy yourself a celebrity astrophysicist. Some of us played a little closer to the vest. Some of us also knew that this was coming. And when a people of greater force stumbles upon a people with lesser force, nature shows us that the results are never good for the lesser force. They came for a reason. And I have watched them and seen close up what they do, and now I know why they are here. They came because it was time. Time to harvest what they had planted. They are gorging themselves on us. Not on our bodies, but on our minds. They stick their damn sharp tongues into the space between our ears and throw the rest away. You know, I think they planted something in us thousands and thousands of years ago. Something that triggered our brains to grow bigger and bigger, asking more and more questions. And each discovery asked another question. And the brain had to grow in order to answer that question, which only discovered deeper questions. And on and on and on through the eons. Like you said, the sense of I am. It was planted. It was the apple in the garden. And how would they know it was time to harvest? When our brains had asked enough questions and grew so big that it could create a spacecraft that we could send back to tell them that we were ready. Cassini was the pop-up turkey timer that told them, time to eat.
Well, that's a provocative theory you have there, but there is no hope in this?
No hope. No hope? Have you not been listening? It's all over. Life as we knew it is over, and this is great. I mean, it's the big reset. We're going underground, and we're going to watch and survive. Listen, I don't know if you have caught on yet, but I'm pretty smart. And I know you're smart as well. And we will figure out where they go and how they work, and eventually we will reveal a weakness that we can exploit. It will not take long with me and you and a few other right-thinking people to overtake just one of their machines and turn it against them. And we will eventually prevail. And then we will get another one and another one. And when we have all the power and the world bows down before us, we will build it up again in the image of our own design.
And that is your plan?
You and me and a few more from Muscle, we would own this world. You see, I fancy myself a great leader.
Okay, goodbye.
Wait, where are you going? Oh, wait.
Not to your world. You know, yesterday I was a celebrated astrophysicist. Today I'm the midnight DJ on a community radio station. As I look out the window of the fourth floor overlooking this Chico Plaza, I can see the machines heading towards the downtown. They move stride for stride and in lockstep past the Senator Tower. Another pair passing the Diamond Hotel. A third pair walking past the water towers. They converge in the plaza. Six great machines, 50 feet tall, right across from my window. I look up at my end, and they stop and quiver. In an instant, they tear into each other with such power and force that the ground shakes beneath them. They fall and roll, lasers ripping through legs and melting the metal casement like butter. As quickly as it started, it finished. All six lifeless on the ground. Well, it's over. The War of the Worlds is over, but we end our story not like H.G. Wells ended his story, or even how Orson Welles ended his interpretation. In both, the Martians conquered humanity and disrupted our civilization, but in the end, fell victim to the microscopic bacteria for which they had no defense. Where humans could not succeed, the humblest creature stood victorious. But we end in a different way. 119 years after the novel was written, the view of humanity's strengths are much different. But the views of our supposed weaknesses are much more insidious. What was it that killed the Saturnians? The same sense of self-awareness, I am, that has grown the brain to develop sophisticated technology, has also developed subtler and more invasive forms of awareness that has caused multiple rifts in the thought processes of humans. Drawing distinctions where distinctions do not exist and causing a deep sense of hatred, jealousy, and prejudice based on fabricated dividers such as geography or skin color or metaphysical beliefs. Basically, anything that is different, we have grown more and more intolerant of. Yet side by side with this, nature has implanted, either by accident or design, a sense of empathy towards others that has built up a moral obligation to respect and do no harm. This barrier is thick and often tears, but it's the only thing that keeps us in relative peace with our fellows. The Saturnians, being of a hive mind mentality, much like bees or ants that view the collective far above the individual, have no comprehension of this, and when they harvested and devoured the brains of the earthling, they ingested the senses of division and otherness, self-awareness that has been maturing and growing for thousands of years, without the benefit of empathy, which acts as a defense against our baser natures. That mysterious fine balance was tipped, and the poor Saturnians, confronted with a concept of self that they could never even imagine, turned on one another and fought until none was left. Basically a very bad trip. My hope now is that we, as a species, use this story of the War of the Worlds as a lesson to tear down the borders of hatred, of race and religion, and see our planet united in the knowledge that there are other planets with other species out there, watching, waiting. Let us link our arms and sing our world anthem of togetherness with our eyes up towards the vault of space, ever vigilant of the unknown threat that lies beyond.
Thank you to the Blue Room. Now back to KZFR. It's Pledge Drive 895-0131.
Get ready!